This whole day or this service is for everyone, but it is for you as graduates. And so I will say to you, even though no one believes in you, believe in yourself and all that you do. Take your rightful place on the stage of history. Don't wait for anyone's validation or approval, but take their words such as you can't, you won't, and you never, and place them in the trash for removal. Never give up. Never give in. Take your rightful place. Know that you have something unique inside of you that the church, the world needs to see it. They need to hear it. It must come out. Should you try to hold it in, I believe your soul will shout. Never give up. Never give in. Take your rightful place on the stage of history. If your gifts go unused, the church, the world will never find its true voice. The sun won't be as bright. The skies won't be as blue. The cosmos will be out of alignment because of you. You are God's choice. Take your rightful place. I think that we can all draw a great conclusion that without youthful energy, laughter, timing, and purpose, the world stands in need of a youth transfusion. So don't be lazy. Don't be distraught. But teach and lead as you've been taught. You are emergent and exceptional. You are talented and tough-minded. You are brilliant and beautiful. You are God's perfect promise, and indeed you are capable. Take your place on the stage of history. Let us pray. Most gracious God, these are your graduates. They've come through this church. You've nurtured them with many of the leaders who are right here and others who are not standing with them. But you have blessed them to excel. And Lord, my prayer is that they don't forget you in the midst of their busyness, that they don't forget you in the midst of their ambition and striving for their goals, but they'll take you with them and they'll lead us in a way that we have not been led before. Father, I look at these young people and I see your light. I see your hope. I see that they can leave their indelible handprint on this world. And Father, we pray that you would lift them up now to their highest possibility in you, that in their transitions that they will call upon you. And when things are going well, that they will give you glory and praise. And in their struggles, they would seek your face above anything else. Lord, if you would do this for us, we would be so careful to give you the praise. For it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. It's good to be recognized in your church. It's good that we have young people who are moving on. As I shared in the earlier service, it's good that we have children. You know how many churches don't have children or youth or even young adults in their church? And yet we're blessed to have youth and young adults. And so we give God thanks and we give God praise. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you, that they might hear you, and not me. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. A couple got married, and they were on a lake, I guess going to maybe where they were going to honeymoon. And as they got into the middle of the lake, there was a great storm. And in the storm, the woman was really worried about this storm. The gentleman was a soldier, and he had been through tough times. And so she says to him, I mean, let's go back. I mean, this storm is happening. I'm scared. I mean, you don't even look scared. Why don't you say something? You're just sitting there like a stone. I mean, aren't you scared? and he takes out his knife and he gets close to her. And he puts the knife close to her neck, not to touch her, but he said, "Are you afraid?" She says, "No, I'm not afraid. Why would I be afraid? It's you holding the knife. You love me. You're not going to do anything to hurt me." And he says, "And so it is with God, that God loves me. And we're right in the palm of his hand. And the storm is in his control." I've got good news for you today. And the good news is that he's still on the throne. Amen. And the good news is that he's got all power. And the good news is that he will get you to the other side. How many of you know it to be true? Now, the hard part is the only way out is through. We have to go through the storm in order to get to the other side. What I love about the scripture that was read in your hearing, it's a story about Elijah. But it's really a story about Israel and the troubled times that Israel was in. You have King Ahab. His father was King Omri, and he married Jezebel. Here's the problem. They didn't worship Yahweh, our God, but they worship other gods. Not only did they worship other gods, but they killed the prophets who worship Yahweh. And God was angry about this. So in the midst of this dark time, he raises up Elijah. And he says to Elijah, "I want you to go to the king. And you tell him there's going to be no rain. There's not going to even be any dew until you say so." Now you got to think. Elijah goes to the king and he makes this bold statement and he walks out. I mean, he's literally putting his life on the line. But I think that he was so bold and he had such swagger to walk in and to say this to the king and just turn around and walk out. I think the king was still in shock. Like, did he just come in here and tell me what to do? And then God sent him away. But my first point for you today is sometimes taking your place on the stage of history is not always easy, is it? Being a Christian is not always easy because sometimes God asks us to do the hard things. And some of us are saying, well, why did God ask us to do the hard things? Because he would empower us to do the hard things. Because God wants to grow us up and mature us as Christians. I don't care what field you look at. Anybody who's been successful had to put some time in. If you look at a boxer, if you look at a runner, if you look at any business, whoever owns that business had to put that time in. And it's no different for you and I as Christians. God is seeing, what can he trust us with? Will we trust him in the small things, so that when he calls upon us to do the greater things, we will trust him, or he could trust us to do those things? Am I making any sense to you? I read this story that I came across, and these women were reading the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, "And he will sit at the refiner, refining the silver." And they said, what does that, as a refiner and refining silver, what does that mean? And so the ladies began to talk about it, and they said, you know what? One lady says, I'm going to go and find a silversmith, and I'm going to ask if I can just watch the process, and I'll come back and I'll tell you ladies what I found. She contacted a silversmith, and when she got there, he had a piece of silver, and he was holding it over the flames, and he said to her, you got to hold it in the middle where the heat is the hottest. We do this so as to burn off all the impurities. And she began to think, maybe that's what God is doing with us, holding us over the fire, testing us so that we might be victorious. And so she says, and he will sit as he refines the silver. And she said to the silversmith, do you have to sit here the whole time to watch it? Or he says, absolutely. He says, I can't take my eyes off it for a moment. He says, if I take my eyes off it, the heat could ruin the whole project. So I have to watch it from beginning to end so that it won't be destroyed. And she began to think about us. And she said, one last question. She says, how do you know when it's been fully refined? He said, oh, that's easy. When I see my reflection, when I see my image, then I know that it's fully refined. My friends, isn't it true of us that God wants to transform us so that we might be Christ-like, bearing the image of God that's deep down inside of us? What I love about this story about Elijah is that he's sent away. And it's not like he's going to a town or of some sort, but there's nothing there. It's just a brook. But God says, I'm going to take care of you. And so God feeds him by having a raven bring him meat morning, noon, and night. And he can drink by the brook. And I was looking at this story, and I was saying to myself, are there any places where there might be a drought for us today? Maybe it's not bread and water that we lack, but what about patience? Maybe there's a drought of patience. Maybe some of us, we've been going through hard times and we lack the hope that we need. You know, sometimes you're going through this dark tunnel, but you do see light at the end of the tunnel. But some of us, we are going through a dark time and we just see darkness. We don't see light. Maybe it's our finances where there's a lack, something that we need more of. But my question for us today is, will we trust God with it? Will we trust God? Or will we go to 7-Eleven and play that number so that we can get the millions? I'm not saying that there's anything completely wrong with that, because if you do hit, I hope that you would bless the church. But here's what I'm saying. What I am saying is, are we trusting God for whatever it is that we're in need of, that we lack? What I like about Elijah is that he trusted God to do it for him. He trusted God with whatever his needs were. Know that God can fill the need, not the greed. Amen? He'll fill the need, but not our greed. Sometimes we want more than we need. We want more than we have. Sometimes we're never satisfied with what we have. What I like about this story is that Elijah was happy because God took care of him. Notice in this story that it seems like Elijah trusted God to go to the king. He trusted God when he was at Cherith, and God fed him by the raven. And now he goes to another town, and there's a widow there. And the widow doesn't have a lot. But how many of you know that with God, that's all you need? You might have a little, but with God, that's all you need. Just add God plus what you have, and that's all you need. It makes up the difference. God makes up the difference. It would be sad to to be in need and have no relationship with God. Now, that's a drought. But whatever the need is, plus God. What I love about God is that God is faithful. And God was growing up Elijah to trust him in the small things, because later he would use Elijah in great ways. And Elijah was going to need to rely on his faith. He needed to rely on God's track record in his life to know that God is a faithful God. How many of you know that you can trust God for certain? That God will do what he says that he will do. God is 100% faithful. There's no failure in God. You see, at the end of this story, in this portion of text, the woman's son dies. We don't really know why. The text doesn't say. But Elijah carried that child up to the upper room, and he prayed to God, and God restored the child's life. But what if he hadn't trusted God with King Ahab? What if he didn't trust God to bring him a meal using the ravens? What if he didn't trust that God would fill this woman's jars again? You see, God is testing us. In the storms that we're going through, if we hold on and we get through those storms, it shows that God can trust us with even greater things. When I was on embassy duty, and it was my lunch break, I would take my Bible and just try to have a devotion. And it's in the cafeteria. I didn't notice that some of the Americans who was at the embassy in Bonn, Germany, was watching me. And so they came to me and they said, "Would you teach us about the Bible?" And I said, "I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher." I was running from a call at the time. Let's just put that out there. And they got me with this thing that I usually get other people with. They said, "Why don't you pray about it?" And so I said, "Okay." And I prayed about it. And I really didn't hear anything. So I started teaching that class. And then they said, "Why don't you teach our children?" So on Sundays, I was teaching adults and I was teaching children the Bible lesson. Hadn't been to seminary, hadn't been anywhere, but God was presenting these opportunities. I left there and I went to Bamako, Mali, West Africa. And there I was in the cafeteria just reading my Bible and studying. And somebody came up and said, "Would you teach us the Bible?" I said, "I'm not a preacher. Why are you guys coming to me? Why don't y'all go to the church and ask somebody else?" They said, "No, but we see you. We see you being faithful to it, and we want you to teach us." And then they said, "Why don't you pray about it?" And I started teaching, and they came back and they asked me to teach even the children. So in both places where I served, a year and a half in Bonn, Germany, a year and a half in Bamako, Mali, West Africa, I was teaching adults Sunday school and I was teaching children. Look at me today. That God would allow me to go to school and then go to seminary. Here I am at Providence. But what if I hadn't been faithful in the small things? Amen. What if I hadn't been faithful just to teach the children or to teach those adults? You see, God was preparing me for such a time as this. I didn't just walk through this door and was able to be the pastor. I was prepared to be. God's not going to call you to do something that he doesn't equip you to do it. Amen? I was sharing with the men's group on Thursday night, and the men's group, which I absolutely love, and I'm going to put a plug in for the men's group. It's one of the places where I feel that I can just be completely me. I don't have to put on airs. I can share what I'm struggling with, and I'm not judged. But I was sharing with the men in that group about just struggles. And I was sharing with them that it feels so good to be able to talk, to pray, to give it to God, to have that accountability. And I want that for you too. I hope that you can be a part of a prayer group. Find a prayer partner. Some of you are doing it. Some of you are in Bible studies. But my friends, the 1 hour on Sunday is not enough. 1 hour on Sunday is not enough for us to really grow as God wants us to grow. We've got to read. We've got to study. We've got to put ourselves in a place where God can mature us. Amen? And when we look at this story, that's what he did for Elijah. He grew him up. He matured him so that he can use him in greater ways. How many of you want to be used in greater ways today? Would you join hands with the person next to you? The reason why we do this is we never know what the person next to us is going through. And most of the time, the person next to us is going through a lot more than we could imagine. But today we can touch and agree. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Father, we pray that it's a word that comes to challenge us to draw closer to you, to grow in our walk with you. And even as we get a little closer, Lord, we pray that you would burn off all the impurities so that we might be the people that you've called us to be, and that those who don't know you might find you in the pardon of their sins. Touch us now. Bless us and heal us. Father, we lift up our sick and our shut-in of Providence. We pray your hand upon them. We pray that you might bless them right where they are. Lord, we thank you for Margaret. We thank you for her wedding on yesterday. And we pray a blessed honeymoon, and we pray for safe travels as you bring her back to us. Father, we lift up Stuart Watkins, who we love so much, and we know that he's going through a difficult time, but we know that you've got him right in the hollow of your hand. We lift up Carol Bowman, who broke her elbow and one arm and broke her wrist in two other places in the other arm. We pray for her. We lift up Carol Anderson, who's going through a difficult time, who's also in hospice. We ask for your healing hand to be with her and to be with family. We lift up Wayne Smith, who's at home and he's healing and he's doing well. We lift up Tracy Kellum, who we know that her surgery is coming, and we look forward to her having some relief. But Lord, there are others, and some that I don't know of just yet, but we pray a blessing upon them, and we ask that you draw close. Father, there are some here today who are grieving the loss of family. Come and sit with them, sup with them, because only you can chase away the dark clouds of grief. Nothing we can say can do that. Only you can. And so, Father, we thank you for this day, for all of our graduates. We thank you for this incredible church where we get to serve and be your people. And we ask that your hand would be with us this day and always. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.